all of you that are home, we're blessed that you are here as well. And for you that are new today and you're sitting here going, this is not normal. There's always, obviously, there's not normal in a lot of things we're doing right now. But I just want to let all of you that are new know that the reason why we have all these different cameras and all these guys running around is because they are recording for next Sunday's worship. So Jeremy takes this worship from this Sunday, edits it, puts it all together, and puts it online for next Sunday. My parents, it was so funny. My parents were here, and they were here in service. And that was 2 weeks ago. Last week, they weren't able to be here in service, and so they turn on the online feed, and they go, well, we already attended this service. Look at these. This is the same worship. We already had this worship. And so they were about to turn it off. And then my dad texted me and said, what's wrong? What's wrong with your live feed? And I said, nothing's wrong. This is how we're doing it. The worship's just 1 week from the past week. So it's just what it is. So that's what we're doing for anyone who's curious about all that's happening and taking place. So just bear with us through all this process. And when we finally get over to our new home, it will be beautiful. So yeah, can't wait. All right, so this message is my message. There are messages where I preach and I feel like you need to hear it. That happens, you know. And then I'll have messages where I need to hear it. And I need to hear these messages myself. I need to dive when I'm in the Word, I'm reading what the Word has to say, and I want to know particular things. I want to hear what God has to say about what's taking place. On top of that, there are moments when you read the Word of God that you just recognize, oh man, I've been off. I'm over here, and I need to put myself back facing what God has for me. And those moments, as a pastor, I've learned I'm never able to preach on a message where it's an opened wound. I'm only allowed to minister on scars. So these are moments where it's happened in my life, and that's where I say I'm preaching from a message of where I've been and what I want to make sure that you guys are aware of in your own life, to be conscious of. There's just moments that you don't realize that you have a leaky boat. You have a leaky boat, and inside that leaky boat, you need to plug up some of these holes. And also, you may not realize how many holes you have in your leaky boat. And we need to be very, very aware of these leaky moments. And some of you are kind of patchworking that leaky boat. You're not putting down the right patch, the right way of doing it. And you're just like, man, I'll just stick my finger in it. Before you know it, you got to stick your foot in it and then your head on it or something. And it just doesn't work. So I want to talk about that. So today, I want to encourage the doubter. I want to encourage the doubter. That's my message title is just encourage, but encourage the doubter. I chose this photo on purpose because I think about those moments that it's dark. When you begin to doubt, you've allowed emotion to flood in. You have opened up a leaky spot in your boat, and you've allowed doubt to come in. You've allowed insecurities to take over. You've allowed emotions to flail. And right now, that's what's happening a lot in today's world. And unfortunately, people are saying this is the new normal, and I disagree with this 100%. I'm not going to allow emotions to drive me. When I read James, you don't have this up there, guys, but when I read James chapter 1, in verse 19, it says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. So I want us to self-examine. I want us to think about, you know, what things are arousing in us that is not of God. Those anger moments, those emotions, the hurts, the pains, the whatever you want to title it as in your own life. But those things cause doubt. those emotions begin to rise up. You begin to doubt the things of God. You begin to question your purpose of what he's instructed you to do, and it becomes more difficult for you to navigate what's right and what's wrong. And then you begin to just listen to the voices that are the loudest. There's a generation right now being taught all sorts of things. And it's so funny. I'm 41. I'm still young to some of you, but I'm old to others. I'm right there in the middle. Even at 41, I thought I'd never say this, but I will say there's a generation younger than me that I am concerned about. I'm concerned about the truth being taught and that they're listening to the loudest voice. They are holding tight to they're holding tight to things that have no foundation or no solidness to it. And it just seems like that's the right thing. I'm going to hold on to this when there's a greater thing to take place here. There's a greater purpose. There's a greater, just God's greater. How about that? How about God is bigger than anything you're holding on to? And I'm concerned that we're holding on to these notions of I'm just going to call it out. I know there's kids in the room, but if this is a bad word in your house, I apologize, but stupidity. You're holding on to stupidity. You're holding on to ignorance rather than the truth of God, the things of God. And that concerns me. I'm seeing anger. I'm seeing yelling and fighting and all these things take place. And I'm about to read a scripture in Isaiah chapter 42. That's what's so beautiful about Jesus Christ. This is a prophecy of Jesus to come, and it's quoted again in Matthew, but in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." And this is what I'm talking about right here. "He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope." In his teaching the islands will put their hope. Guys, what I mean by this is here's Jesus Christ, right? The Son of God. He comes on this earth, and he doesn't have to shout. He doesn't push his agenda. He doesn't force you into things. He doesn't manipulate you. He doesn't try to create some type of a blackmail situation. It's cut and dry for him. "Hey, I'm here to love you. I'm here to show you this love." And that's what I love even about verse 3. "A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out." You know, a bruised reed to this world is worthless. It has no power. It has no stability. It's no purpose. The only good it has is just to be thrown away. A bruised reed has no structure to it, but yet Jesus finds structure and he finds purpose in a bruised reed. I believe that there are a lot of people in this world that are bruised people. And so therefore, being bruised, they're willing to grab whatever there is that's around them. They're willing to grab on any type of stability they can find around them, but it's not God. And that's a scary potential moment that should be avoided. You know, for me, I've seen pastors lose their way and lose their faith. I've known friends. I've seen it on television. I've seen these great ministers, they just quit. And a lot of people go, "How? If that's possible, how?" And I go, because there's a real enemy out there. There's an enemy out there that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And God gives us instructions. God gives us instructions in James chapter 1 about how when you begin to operate in faith and you begin to listen to God's truth and his word, you're not to look at yourself in the mirror and as if turning around and forget what you look like. It's I know the faith and I know what God's word says, and I will stay true to that. I will stand upon that. I will not waver. I'm going to stay true to God's word. You don't put anything above God's word. You don't put anything above the things of God. We begin to hold truth to a substance with no foundation. We hold on to that and we give it a false foundation above the things of God. You begin to rally behind those things and not of the things that actually have purpose and meaning. God wasn't bothered by great armies. God wasn't moved by the statements that people had against him. How many people in this world have said all sorts of crazy things about our God? All sorts of times. God's not wavered by that. Not at all. This is my cry to you here this morning, is that if you have found yourself a little bruised because of this world, or your flame is not as bright as it used to be, maybe you're in a season right now where it's hard for you to open up the Bible. It's hard for you to open your mouth. You're distracted during worship. You're allowing other people to distract you during worship. Maybe this is a wake-up call for some of you. It's hard. I won't deny that. It's not easy. But I promise you that God's promises are greater than anything that's out there. Anything. You're doubting right now. Some of you are sitting in this room and you have doubt. You have these moments of insecurity. You have those moments where you say, I just don't know. I say, you haven't leaned into God. You know, Isaiah 53:5, it says that he was bruised for our iniquities. In other words, he was bruised on behalf of those bruised by sin. Those who come to Christ, he will not despise. They have this promise from Jesus. And it's found in Isaiah 61:1, but God has sent Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted. Some of you have held on to some of these truths so tightly, not truths, sorry, falsehoods. You've held on to these so tightly that when they begin to falter, you falter and then you question God. Because you were so fixated that I have to do this and this is my purpose in life right now. But yet it wasn't. It's not what God told you to do. You held on to this so tightly, you begin to lose your way. And I want you to realize, some of you, it's a wake-up moment that your boat is leaking. And you got to allow God to take control. You've got to allow God to take over. You need to question the foundation that you're standing on. You need to question this. I believe that even the disciples came across a moment of question. It's not a matter of questioning the deity of God, but it was a questionable moment of, who is Jesus? I believe some of you need to go there. I believe you need to go there because you've been holding on to so many things that are not of God that you don't have any more room to hold on to the things of God. And you need to stop and say, you know what? Let me ask the question, who is Jesus? Who is he? What does he mean in my life? What place does he hold? What value is that? What depth? What weight? You name it, whatever word you want me to use right now, just read Ephesians. But the truth of the matter that I'm trying to get you to is that in that moment with the disciples, it's found in Mark chapter 4, Jesus calms the storm, and immediately the disciples are like, who is this? Because even the wind and the waves obey him. They have been spending time with him over and over and over again. And at this very moment, they're like, who is this? Who is this? They're questioning because they're like, I don't even know what's the depth of Jesus. Some of you, I believe, you've only like chipped away a little bit of Jesus just because grandma or mom brought you to church. And you need to keep chipping away and finding out more about who Jesus is. Your skim surface of Jesus is this much. I love it. I'm gonna hurt some of you in this room. Just love me though. I mean it to be good. Many of you guys are. I love it. You have this notion that tattoos send you to hell, and that's not the truth. But I love the fact that in the very beginning, some of you, your first tattoo was a cross, just in case. You're like, I don't want to make Mama and Papa all mad at me. You know, they raised me better, but I really want to get a tattoo. So the first one, I'm going to get a cross. And you're just like, all right, whatever. I say that to tell you because you're this level of Jesus. Like this, you begin to create this unstable foundation. It's not real. And I want you to begin to start finding out who Jesus Christ is. Who is this? Because in those moments of doubt, in those moments of unwavering truth where you're sitting and going, I don't know, in a storm moment, Jesus can calm the storm and you'll say, who is this Jesus that the winds and the rain listen to? That's Jesus. You're not willing to push through your doubt to find out who Jesus is, so therefore you don't give him a chance, but you give everything else a chance. You get what I'm talking about right now? Because it's super sad. And I'm going to be honest with some of you here in this room. Some of you are like, man, I grew up Baptist. I grew up Presbyterian. I know the word of God. And doubters go to hell. Okay, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Let's stop right there for a second. But some doubted. And how many, who's some and who was there? Well, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. Let's take out the whole idea. Well, maybe there was other people there. No, let's just say what the scripture said. The 11 disciples went to Galilee. They went on top of some mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. You guys ever know some of worshipers? I love worshipers. And the first song, how funny is this? That the first song is what it is. I like the first song, Pastor Stephen. I like it. But there is a line in the song that I kind of go, here's why. Sing a little louder. It's asking you to do something. And some of you are so full of uncertainty and doubt, you go, no. Sing a little louder. No, not going to do it. Don't tell me how to worship. Right? But some of you in this room are like, oh, I'm going to sing a little louder. Don't you worry. Everybody's going to hear me. Right? Some of you. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Some people are just, I'm here, man. Yeah, let's do it. And then there's other people who are sitting here going, I'm kind of here. I'm here. I mean, I'm here. Look at me. I made it. But there's other people who are sitting here going, because I'm saying the fact that there is a realism to this scripture that some of you won't even give a chance, that in the scriptures it is written, and some doubted. I'm not telling you that it's okay to doubt. But I'm saying the reality is that some of you are doubting, but I believe there's a purpose and a reason to this. And as I continue to read, maybe it will unfold. Verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, oh, you got to allow Jesus to come. You have to invite him in. You have to say, hey, talk to me. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus says, I'm gonna speak to you. I'm gonna give you the greatest thing that you could possibly do. I'm gonna tell you what actually brings purpose. I'm actually gonna tell you the reason why you were here on this earth. That purpose, that reality that everyone keeps searching for. See, some of you that are single in this room, you think it's finding a significant other. Wrong. It's not. Yeah, having a significant other is great, don't get me wrong. Hey, listen, my wife's gone for the next few nights. That's hard, right? My wife's in West Virginia at a conference up there, and so she's gone. So what did I do last night? I slept with one light on in my bedroom. I'm not scared of the dark, but I just miss my wife. So I put one light on her side of the bed because she likes to read at nighttime for hours, which is a nightmare for me. It's a nightmare. That's that glow, right? I miss that glow from her phone. So I turn the light on. I'm not trying to get an all or brownie point. She's not even watching this morning, so it doesn't even matter. But the point of it is, I understand. Like, I get it. Right? The point of all this is that there is a purpose. You've got to make disciples of all nations. You start putting a purpose on tangible objects. I'm going to rally behind this. I'm going to stand for that. And when it doesn't go your way, foundation is gone. I'm going to tell you, God's foundation. You can try to put all this purpose on something. Oh, this is my purpose. This is what I'm supposed to do. But that's not it. It never will be. So God says, hey, all you worshipers and all you doubters, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to say something. Therefore, go. When you begin to go, you begin to do the things of God. You begin to see and it unfolds in front of you. All these disciples did these great and miraculous things. They continued to preach the gospel. They began to plant churches in Asia and in Europe. And they did all these wonderful, wonderful things. And then now here we are. Years and years later, here we all are because of their faithfulness. And they got to see that Jesus' promise is true. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He's there. He's with you. He won't forsake you. He's here to help in those moments that are hard, those moments where you feel alone. I believe that there was a reason why Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. Because there are moments where the temptation of what's physically in front of you is more attractive to the faith side of, I gotta believe for something that's not there, and I gotta trust in God that He'll fulfill it. I get it. That's difficult. That's difficult for a lot of people, especially for those that you don't know very well. Ooh. Stephen knows me really well. Pastor Stephen. He knows that if he called me and I told him I would be there or do something, he knows that I would be there. I would do it. Now, Pastor Stephen may not know Brian Hurdle very well. So then it becomes, because he doesn't know Brian Hurdle very well, then what happens is there's a gap of uncertainty. There's a gap of doubt, of I don't know if Brian will show up. I don't know his faithfulness to do what he says he'll do. That's why in our relationship with God, as you begin to push through some doubt, when you begin to push through some uncertainty, you're giving God the moment to lay a foundation of certainty and that he will do what he says he'll do. That you begin to say, oh, I trust in God. And the more you do this, the more the foundation just begins to solidify underneath you. And you begin to build a structure, a foundation of solitude, of truth. I believe in those moments that Jesus sent two by two, what happens is that when you have those questionable issues, that other person sits there and goes, whoa, here, let's talk about this. Let's direct ourselves here. Let's do this together. Sin wants to isolate you. Sin wants to cause you to doubt and feel all alone and be in a place of self-pity. And you allow yourself to work through the thoughts, mill them over your head over and over and over again. You mill over the instance that took place. You say, oh, if I could have, should have, would have done this better. I wish I would have said that. I wish I would have done this. And you're living in a past and not in a future that God says that I have it secure. You're not living in a position where you say, God's in control. You're living in the past that you don't have any control of that anymore. But you're living in that moment. And it's really sad. You know, in Romans 10:17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Some of you in this room right now, you're distracted. The enemy's trying to distract you. If you have looked at your phone at all, if you have looked at social media since the minute I began my message, you're addicted to your phone. I just called you out. Some of you are like, nuts. If you've done anything outside of listening to this message, I've only been going for 20 minutes. There's something wrong. Point being that the Word of God brings faith. It brings stability. It brings structure to your to your being. And unfortunately, some of you aren't coming to him in faith, humbly trusting his strength or finding that grace that he has for all of us. You make excuses. You say, no, I don't want to do this. This is not convenient. It's not the right thing. It's not there. I don't want to do it. I've got too much. You don't want to set time apart for him. You're running the rat race of life, money, image, somehow value that you're placing in this world. Whatever that is, you need to reconstruct your thinking to the things of God. You know, in those seasons of wondering, our heart of hearts, we don't want to drift from God. But Paul actually brings up this in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right. But I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Talk about truth. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong, I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin, to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is Jesus. Our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Paul's not saying that in this, that you're basically condemned to a sinful life. But he's saying there is a real war here. What Paul has said at the end of all of this is your answer. The answer being that it is, thank God that it is, the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Why does he say all of this? Because some of you in this room, you've allowed sin to overwhelm you and then separate you from the things of God. That's why in James chapter 1, verse 19 on, that's why James was saying, hey, you need to be careful. Even in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Hey, sin comes in, begins to destroy. It actually wreaks havoc, and then it causes death. But yet, Paul gives us this answer. It is through Jesus. We desperately need to turn back to the shepherd. We desperately need our heart to draw close to him. We desperately need this. David writes this with his struggle. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. See, David notions the fact that, hey, this isn't easy. How can a young person, how can a teenager, how can a 20-something, 40-something, youth is relative, obviously, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? And he answers it by living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. David has discovered that in those moments where sin arises, where you feel doubt, you feel shameful, guilt, pain, anger, emotions of all sorts raging inside of you. In those moments, David has recognized, hey, it is through the word of God. It's through the word of God. There was a pastor a few years back who started preaching this message. To me, it's heresy. And I don't care what you want to tell me that he was trying to mean. I'm telling you he's wrong. But the message was, stop saying because the word of God says so. Stop saying because the notion was is that it's lost its sting. That it's, to people, this is just the book that's in a hotel room. And I'm here to tell you that it is the word of God, and what it does say actually transforms you. It transforms your mind. It transforms and renews who you are in Christ Jesus. That's why David says, don't let your commands leave me. Don't let these notions of falsehood come into my thinking. Like, God, protect me from all of this that the enemy tries to throw my way. You know, just maybe Jesus isn't discouraged by your doubt. He's not discouraged by your doubt. Because what did I read in Isaiah earlier? Some of you are experiencing doubt, and you're a broken reed. Jesus is not discouraged by you being a broken reed. He comes to heal the brokenhearted, right? He comes to walk with you. Maybe Jesus loves you more than you know. Maybe, just maybe. It's not about how tight of a grip you have on Jesus, but it's how tight of a grip he has on you. You begin to have a truth that's based around your grip on him, when reality is that he's got a hold on you. And now let him live inside of you. Find out who Jesus is in your life. Find out how you can be set free from this world. And Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There were disciples that went to a mountain in Galilee and saw Jesus, and some worshiped and some doubted. You're not broken because you've doubted. But the moment that that doubt has slipped in, the moment that you can recognize, I've got doubt, then my answer to you this morning is the same answer that Paul gives and the same answer that David gives, and that is, but lean into God's word. Lean into his truth. Step back and let him have control. Step back and say, all right, what do you have to lose? Let Jesus take over. Let Jesus run with it. Let Jesus show you that faith. When Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were about to go in the fiery furnace, they looked at that guy and they said, even if God doesn't deliver us from this fiery furnace, we will never worship that God. We will continue to worship God. And what happens? They go into a fiery furnace. At any moment, those three individuals could have started doubting the heat of that fire. I mean, supposedly to the historians, that people would die just opening up that door. And I love the fact that the historians say this. They say the door would, they would send people to this fiery furnace that was so hot that they would die and melt at the door. Yet here, the three guys get inside, and I'm thinking in my head, the door gets shut. The door gets shut, and these guys are totally unharmed. Some of you aren't willing. You feel the heat, and you're like, nope, nope. You digress, and you don't give an opportunity for God to show up. No, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay at home. Nope, not doing it. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but you're not willing to say, God, I want to see you. I really want you to do this. For all of you that are watching at home, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag.
Right.
We've been ending with you at home, but we're continuing to worship here a little bit longer afterwards. Because I have the band at my discretion, and I'm a worshiper, and I want to worship a little longer. So for all of you that are home and watching, if you need anything at all, I want you to reach out to us, info@trailhead.church. You can call the church at 336-229-7729. We want to pray with you. We want to come in agreement with you. Whatever it is, God can heal this. God can take over. I'm going to pray. And then for everyone that's here in this room, the band's going to come up and we're going to continue to worship. But hear me out. The worshipers will come, and then my prayer and care team will come, and they're going to be over here on the sides, and they're here to pray, not to give advice. And here's why I tell you that, because it doesn't say that the advice of the righteous person availeth much. It says the prayer of the righteous person availeth much. So they're here to pray with you, okay? Why do I tell you this? I tell you this because you begin to go to people for advice a lot of times and not prayer. This is the moment where you need another wake-up moment for doubters in the room of stop going to everybody about your problems. Stop talking about it, trying to get advice. The whole pity party of the oh me and oh my, wake up and say, you know what, I just need to pray. I need to allow God to take control. That's why, let me say it again, David, in Psalm 119, he's going right to God. And he's saying, how? He's asking a question. He's getting the advice. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? He's asking God this. This is his prayer. And God's response, and he writes it down, by living according to your word. Pray. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship a little longer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together. God, we thank you, Lord, for showing us your paths. Lord, for making our paths straight. And God, I thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, that it is a firm truth. And Lord, we won't allow doubt to slip in. God, that when you've told us to do what we need to do, God, we'll do it. Lord, that no longer will I allow this world to dictate who I am in Christ Jesus. No longer will I allow what's happening on the outside to affect me in my spiritual inside. God, I thank you, Lord, that our church, Trailhead Church, is a church based on firm foundation of your truth and your understanding, your promises. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we will lean in. Lord, that we will lean into you and seek after your face in all that we do. Lord, we love you. We honor you. And in Jesus' name we pray.